stop the hate. Oh, but love is the only way. Oh, the hate will never stop the hate. Oh, but love is the only way.
Hi, we are Jetpacks for Sale.
And you're listening to Freeform Radio, 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Mass.
Took from me everything I knew. A hole you created that looks like you. You love to be cheated, and it's all you do.
Blew out of my wildest dreams. You are listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford, and this is a special St. Patrick's Day history of Irish classic rock edition of Classic Rock Mine.
When the kings and queens were dancing around. Play me their melodies so that I might know.
And a happy St. Paddy's to you, my friend, oh, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, almost.
Oh, Borgo, oh, pass.
Tonight I'm Borg, oh, pass. That Irish stand-in DJ.
Yes.
I'll be helping you with the Almost St. Paddy's Day show tonight, don't you know?
Awesome, yes. Tonight we are doing the sort of history of Irish classic rock up to and not including...
Not including...
U2.
The old U2.
Yes, so I threw on Black Rose, which I'm not going to say in Gaelic because I'm sure I'd butcher it.
That's pretty good. Is that Gaelic?
Yeah, it's a Thin Lizzy track off the album Black Rose.
Okay.
And it's sort of... It's sort of Thin Lizzy in a nutshell. It's got like the, you know, Irish influence, the hard rock influence.
Yep.
He name checks a bunch of writers and figure it's a nice overview rock.
I wish I had heard it rather than sprinting up the stairs to get to the studio in time.
Yes.
Have you seen the movie once?
I have not.
Oh, it's great.
Have you seen it twice?
I have seen it actually more than twice. More than twice. It's really, really good. It's very romantic and... it's about an Irish busker, a guy who's busking in Dublin with his acoustic guitar. He's out there in the streets of Dublin playing Van Morrison songs for spare change, and he has this run-in with an immigrant woman from somewhere in Eastern Europe, and they start to have this romance. Anyway, it's this lovely, slow-budget, small-budget film about pop. Not pop rock, but I mean popular, like street performers in Dublin.
Cool.
And the musical history of Irish music. And it's just great stuff.
Cool.
Anyway, at one point he's trying to put together a band. It becomes like the Commitments.
He
needs to have a band so he can make a recording. And he picks up a guy who's playing drums, who's another busker who's playing drums on the street. And he says, so what kind of music can you play then? The other guy says, well, I only do the Lizzy.
Awesome. All right, so having done Thin Lizzy, the sort of overview, we're now going to go back and do a little chronological stuff.
Okay.
So the first big rock band to come out of Ireland prior to, like, the British invasion, the Irish music scene was dominated by what they called show bands.
Show tunes?
No, show bands.
Showgirls.
They were basically... like a full sort of orchestra with some rock instrumentation, but they had sax and all kinds of horn arrangements, and they were very mainstream. It was not a youth culture thing. It was not a rock culture thing, but they had been around forever. A lot of the Irish rock guys from the 60s and 70s came out of those kinds of bands. Like Rory Gallagher played in a show band.
Yeah.
Van Morrison played in a show band.
Yeah.
Gary Moore played in a show band.
Gary Moore.
But when the show bands, they sort of overlapped with rock and roll early on because Van Morrison, his dad basically bought him a club.
Bought him a club.
In Belfast.
Okay.
And he wanted to, he threw a band together to play at the club, and who, that band became them.
Who was Van Morrison's dad that he could buy an entire club?
I don't know, Guy Morrison? I don't know.
Some rich guy.
But anyway, so yeah, they basically created a venue for them to play their music.
Wow.
And early on, them was.
Them was.
I can say that.
There you go.
They were very improvisational. Like when they would perform Gloria, there were no set lyrics. He would just improvise off the top of his head, and it would typically run 15 to 20 minutes.
Damn.
Because they were very garagey, they were very in your face, they had a bad attitude, and they just got up there and sort of like, you know, garaged it up.
Yeah.
They became popular in the UK. They were then marketed in the U.S. as a British invasion band, even though they really were not part of the British invasion, but it was occurring at the same time. So there you go. So this next song we are going to hear is the first rock song hit to come out of Ireland.
And is it them?
It is them.
It is
them. And I think you'll recognize the song.
Cool.
So as I will say many times over the course of tonight, dig potatoes and dig them deep. So that was 1964. That was them.
Gloria.
Gloria.
Giant radioactive ants.
Yeah, which apparently had no real lyrics, and he would just make them up.
I've heard crazy things about Van Morrison these days. Apparently he's totally loopy, and a friend of mine went to go see him in concert and said that his daughter goes with him now, and she kind of keeps watch. She's on stage, and she's playing, but she's essentially keeping watch over Van. And at a certain point, he became so emotional that he couldn't complete the lyrics for whatever song it was he was singing. Mm-hmm. And that it became clear that she was there to step in right at that moment and sing those lyrics so that her weepy father, you know, could take a moment to compose himself.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, in my research for the show, I learned a couple of things. Them as a band were, they were very sort of punky. They were terrible if the music press tried to interview them or a radio station tried to. They were rude. They like gave fake answers. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I read said that Van Morrison would later raise this attitude to an art form as a solo artist.
Wow.
But dig this. This is an interesting tidbit.
Okay.
Them toured the U.S. in, I believe, 1966, which is when I believe Van Morrison left the band in 66 or 67. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they came to the U.S. They were playing L.A., opening up for the Doors.
Doors.
And Van Morrison and Jim Morrison did a 30-minute version of Gloria at the Whiskey.
Nice.
Yeah.
Man, can you imagine?
Yeah, isn't that awesome? How many Morrisons can you get on that stage, man?
We could get Toni Morrison up there, I suppose, and it'd be three in a row.
Yeah. Can she sing Gloria?
No, not like that. Not like that. Although, have you ever heard of the Rock Bottom Remainders?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes. Okay, so we've got some writers who, I don't know if they can sing or play or anything, but it's kind of fun to see Stephen King and Amy Tan and Dave Barry get up on stage and rock.
Yes.
But yeah, Jim Morrison and Van Morrison.
Yeah, just jamming, improvising. Awesome. Gloria.
Yeah. I wonder if the audience knew what a big deal this was to be experiencing that at the moment.
I would assume they were on lots and lots of drugs and probably very few of them remember it.
Well, there is that. There is that. Did you see James Taylor's reunion with, what's her name? Not Carly Simon, the other one. Tapestry, Carole King, James Taylor and Carole King did a reunion thing recently. Yeah. And at one point he said, so I'm told that apparently we played here when I was like 25. Point being, he's got no idea.
Right.
There's like a decade that's just gone. It could have been anything in his life.
Cool. So that was 64. That was them, right?
Yep.
Clear rock music.
Got it.
At the same time, one of the top show bands was a band, I forget what their real name was. They had a name.
Mm-hmm.
They then went to Germany and played like the Cavern and all these kinds of places and changed their name
to Sprockets.
To the Green Beats.
Oh, the Green
to
Beats.
To make them sound more British Invasion-y. And as the Green Beats, they also charted in 1964. There were sort of like two branches of sort of rock going on. The show band they were tended to do covers of American like rock and roll songs,
right.
But it was still popular. And this is what the Green Beats sounded like in 1964. And while this is playing, I'll try to find out what their original name was. Because in Ireland, they were not known as the Green Beats. They were known as their previous name.
Okay. I've got a guess, but we'll see if we can.
So let's dig it and dig it deep.
I'd let the sun shine in your window every day. I'd let the sweet winds of the summer blow the clouds away. I'd keep the rain from falling. Never be unhappy anymore. The stars would always give you their sweet light. The moon would shine just like my love in the night. Thank you.
So that was the Green Beats.
The Green Beats.
1964. They were...
Wait, don't tell me. Can I guess?
Yes.
I'm going to guess their original name was Demon and 11 Children.
No, the Caravels.
Okay, that was close.
They formed in 1960. And they very popular in Dublin between 62 and 65. They had their own radio show.
Damn.
Called Not So Green, which was basically a concept like the Monkees.
Really?
Where they were a fake rock band going through all kinds of like comedic adventures on the radio.
And yet they were a real rock band.
Yes.
Posing as a fake rock band.
Yes.
On the radio.
Yes.
Part of the show doesn't really make sense anymore, does it?
Yeah. And they changed their name. I was incorrect. They changed their name to the Green Beats when they played in Liverpool in 1964.
Whoa.
Because I guess there was a British band called the Caravels at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Green Beats. Not very rocking.
No, kind of AM.
Very popular.
Yeah, kind of plaid, I think.
Yeah, so I think that's part of why the show band thing sort of fizzled out, is that the energy and youth were going to rock and roll.
So this is not a joke. Show band is different from rock and roll in the sense that, what is it, more like Irish Tommy Dorsey, or is it like older generation swing dance music?
Yeah. I think originally it was.
Yeah.
And then they tried to adapt to the rock thing, and it just didn't take. And then originally, I guess the guy who coined the name show band did so because these bands would traditionally play in like union halls and community centers and like, you know, sort of cultural things. And the band would be the backup for other entertainers as well as performing their own material. So there was a show.
They were the show band. So Dave Allen is going to come out with his comedy sketches.
Exactly.
But the show band will open it up a little bit.
Exactly. Exactly. And a lot of Irish rock guys, like Rory Gallagher, played in a show band.
Hmm.
And I guess, you know, played stuff.
Show
and
tunes.
Then became a rock guy. So anyway, yeah, that's the Green Beats.
Doesn't seem particularly Irish somehow. I'm not hearing accent or any particular cultural feel to it. And
they were. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
They were Green Beats.
There you go. The green, I suppose.
There you go. So let's go back to them. This is them in 1967. The history of them is very confusing because the band splintered off into two bands in like 66, 67. And then Van Morrison dropped out of the one he was with and, you know, became a solo artist. They recorded in 64. They played with the Doors. In late 65, two of the guys from the original Them formed their own Them, and there were two Thems touring at the time. In 1967, Van Morrison left the band and became a solo artist, but the Them that he was with stayed. So there were two Thems in 67, neither of which had Van Morrison, as far as I can tell.
It's too many Thems.
Yeah, so let's see. Yeah, so this is a non-Van Morrison Them.
Okay, it's one of those two Thems.
In 1967, and I believe Them sounded like this.
I'm your witch doctor. I got an evil eye. I got the power of the devil. I'm a cursed guy. I'm gonna teach you love him in the midnight hour. I'm gonna feel you burn him like a passion flower. And live in trees, and I got my voodoo from the birds and the bees. I'm gonna teach you loving
in the midnight hour. I'm gonna feel you burning like a passion flower. Your guy, I'm gonna teach you loving in the midnight hour. I'm gonna feel you burning like a passion flower. Hey, 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 hey. I'm your witch doctor. I'm your witch doctor. Got my eyes on you. I got my mean old spell on you. I got my mean old spell on you.
So he's a witch doctor.
It's a good one to bookmark for next Halloween show.
And he's got his eyes on you.
I'm your witch doctor. It sounds like Jet, kind of.
So that was, that was a Van Morrison-less them in 1967.
No, they're all right. They've got a good energy.
Yeah, and still got that sort of punky, garagey feel, you know.
Which is not what I think of Van Morrison having at all.
I know, but he did. Back in the day, he was like a snot-nosed, bad-attitude rock and roller guy.
Strange.
Yeah.
And what happened to them, do you know?
I think, just fizzled. It's, as Van Morrison, became a major, major creative force.
Sure.
But mellowed out, unfortunately, which is why I actually don't play a lot of Van Morrison on Classic Rock Mine, because so little of it rocks.
Yeah. It's like early Police, which is really quite creative and edgy, and then... And now I'm Sting, and I'm going to record this song for the Lion King. And you're like, what the hell? This used to be the Police. This was such cool music. Zanyara Mandata, that was good stuff.
Hey, watch your language.
Sorry.
All right, so that's them, 1967, right? Okay, right. Established band, everybody knew the name.
Yep.
At this time,
okay,
a bunch of freakbeat garage band type things started bubbling up all over Ireland, the same that happened in like the U.S. And the U.K. So this is a band from 1967. These guys, I don't know what part of Ireland they were from. I think they were from Dublin, but you will recognize the song. And I believe this was something of a hit. This was a single on Pi Records, if you remember Pi Records.
Sure, of course, they had that hit out of Dublin.
Yeah. So dig it and dig it deep. All right, so that was a band called The Strangers with their cover of The Monkees' Mary Mary.
It's had a little bit of that early Who sound to it.
Yeah, 1967, makes sense.
Yeah, sharpen it up and you've got like pictures of Lily in there.
Yeah, yeah. You do.
You do, you got to have more performative bass and a bit sharper, edgier sound, but it's in there.
Cool. So that's sort of what's going on with the sort of, you know, garagey type thing.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah, okay.
There was a sort of blues rock thing happening too, and the first hard rock band, as opposed to them, which sort of they predates the genre of hard rock.
Yeah.
So a lot of people consider Taste, which was Rory Gallagher's first band, they consider them Taste. The first hard rock band to come out of Ireland.
This is getting hard on my head. So, wait a minute. Now, show rock? No, wait a minute.
Show bands.
Show bands are gone already.
Yeah.
And the next thing that comes along is psychedelic. Are you putting that in there?
Yeah. We're
starting to
get
a little psychedelia.
Yep.
And now we're not quite at rock yet, but we're moving into Taste, which I've never even heard of before.
Oh, Taste. Taste is awesome.
Yeah.
So, Rory Gallagher, who had played in a show band, left a show band, formed a blues rock band, a power trio, because by this time, 1967, Cream was around and everybody was 68. Everybody was like, hey, you know, it's heavy, it's distorted, it's guitar driven, and it's blues based.
Yeah.
Then Taste came along and they were extremely popular. They played.
So Taste is a band?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I thought you were telling me Taste was a movement or kind of band.
No. Right. It's Rory Gallagher's first band. They played the Isle of Wight Festival. They actually opened for Cream on Cream's farewell appearance at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah, so you had Taste and Cream on the same on the same bill.
Yeah. Kinda so cool. This is the first cut from Taste's first album. This is on vinyl as God intended.
Till you're dead. We're the wild, you got George Sugar Brown. You get your sugar from? Down Louisiana, I was sweating on your daddy. Sugar farm. Wow, I'm a town. I'm a town. mama, sugar mama, sugar, sugar.
I gotta say, that's pretty amazing. I thought I had heard all the Gunslingers from back in the day, but I actually, Roy Gallagher is new on me.
Yeah, that's why we have Classic Rock Mind, to bring stuff like this to the people.
Well, you brought it to me. I heard you and Bill, I mean, Carbuncle Jones, or...
Yeah, it was something like that.
When the three of us were on the air, I heard you guys talking about Roy Gallagher and doing high fives over him. I was like, I don't think I know that guy, but damn.
Yeah, so that was Rory Gallagher. We heard Blister on the Moon, which was the first cut on the first album called Taste in 69. And then in 1970, they were on the bill of the Isle of Wight Festival, which was basically the UK's Woodstock.
Yeah.
150,000 people, and they were on stage. There's footage of it on YouTube. It's tiny little drum kit, tiny little amps, and they're just playing the
Marshall
crap
Will
out of
Fender
stuff,
control.
Man. It's awesome. It's totally awesome. So they then became a sort of household name, at least within, you know, that musical scene in the UK at the time.
Yeah.
And they were around for two albums, and then I think Rory kicked out the bass player and drummer and went solo as Rory Gallagher.
Oh, so it's Rory, not Roy.
Rory.
Rory.
R-O-R-Y.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not bad bass playing and drumming at all. And,
yeah.
You know, he could do worse.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, if you're aspiring to be Cream,
yeah,
I think that's like he wanted people.
He wanted that level.
Yeah, he wanted that level.
And did he get it?
I think he did, because he stayed with certain sidemen throughout his career at different points. Like he'd have one guy that he, you know, made like eight albums with. Another guy he made like, you know, six albums with. He'd tour with the same guys. It's, you know.
And so, was it called? Was does band have a name, or was it the Rory?
It was Rory Gallagher. Yeah. It was.
I'm going to take a guess here that this is probably the most Mike Conway of the music that we're going to hear tonight. That just sounded to me like pure Conway.
You think so?
No.
I don't know. But I'll tell you what that reminds me of.
What's that?
That reminds me that you are listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford. This is the special St. Patrick's Day salute to the history of Irish classic rock on Classic Rock Mind.
Sure it is.
Yes.
Faith and Begora.
With my guest host, Borgo Pass.
Borgo Pass.
And we are now, you said, you know, that's a fair cop. that that is a very Mike Conway sounding thing.
Just kind of sounds like this.
Totally is.
Sure, and it sounds like the kind of thing that you'd be loving there.
Oh, it is. It is.
Mikey Millad.
And for a number of reasons. I think I started collecting Rory Gallagher because back in the day, I, you know, would buy my blues rock albums in high school, and I'd read rock encyclopedias, and I'd come across this name, Rory Gallagher, and everybody's like, oh, Rory Gallagher. So I went and bought his stuff, and I'm like, holy crap, this guy's good.
Yeah.
But not, you know, no airplay, no hit singles, no hit songs, no,
well,
you know, private jets.
I don't know if that's really going to get you a lot of airtime.
Yeah, well, I mean, other people, you know, had superstardom out of it. And we were talking while this was playing. Mick Jagger